Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
Let's catch up with former Red striker John Durnin. Morning, Durns.
Good morning, Steve.
So many things to be happy about on the Liverpool front, especially this week. Let's start with the game against Arsenal, who weren't brilliant, let's face it. But Liverpool were, and I tell you what, they're so dynamic going forward.
Yeah, I don't think, a lot of credit was given to Liverpool the next day. I was listening to all kind of pundits saying how terrible Arsenal, and they were terrible, any bones about it. They were shocking, really. But Liverpool just never gave them a chance. They were on the front foot, and some of the stuff they played was really, really amazing. So, I mean, you've got to give credit for Liverpool because you can only beat the opposition that's put in front of you.
Is there too much focus on Liverpool's defence and keeper? For example, no one talks about that with Barcelona, do they? They just go on about the wonderful goals that are scored by Messi and Suarez in the attacking play. They don't tend to focus on the goals conceded. Liverpool seem to be turning into something of one of those teams that just plunder a whole load of goals.
Yeah, I think mirrored image to the Newcastle when they were chasing the title, when they were scoring four and, conceding three and vice versa. I think the attacking prowess we have, I mean, it's frightening. We are going to score goals, but like we've talked about and we've harped on about it, Steve. The defence is shaky when put under attack, and you've got to address it. I don't care what anyone says. You can't keep scoring four or five goals every game. It just doesn't happen. And when it comes to you need someone to nick a goal, they're liable to get one as well. So or maybe two. Liverpool's defence has to be sorted. It really does.
Okay, let's get your moan out of the way. The keeper, Loris Karius. It was a surprise decision to replace Simon Mignolet with Karius at the weekend.
Can I just butt in there a minute?
Go on.
Can you tell me why?
I have no idea. I don't know what was going on there. He needed a rest. He wanted to prepare him for games ahead, apparently, which I don't think really applies to keepers, does it? So maybe he was just testing the water to see whether he was any better than when he played last season. But he just looks decidedly dodgy, doesn't he?
Like, this guy should be with the Chippendales. The guy is a clown. His hair, he's more interested in the way he looks, the way he's got his streaks. There's not a hair out of place. It's so manicured, it's frightening. And he's so laid back. He doesn't even look like a keeper. He frightened the life out of me. And why you would drop Mignolet, I do not know. Whether he's injured or a slight knock, I don't know. But to put him in, and let's be honest, everyone knows Klopp's been dying to put him in. I think it's his choice. You want him in there to try and prove and keep him in there. For me, I'm not having him one bit.
You think he'll play the next game?
I think he's got to play in the next game because why wouldn't you? I mean, the manager looks a fool then. Why would you just bring him in for such a big game against Arsenal and not playing the next game? I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, if he was to drop him again and put Mignolet back in, I just don't get it. And then you've got a question, why the hell did Klopp put him in there in the first place?
What are the positives? You must see some in his game. Is there anything that you think works by playing Karius?
Steve, I haven't seen anything. I mean, let's be honest. I haven't seen anything in his game, in the games he's played last season and on Saturday. It's ridiculous. For me, he's not good enough. I don't know what I see in him. And I'm not having him. I'm sorry. I mean, that's my opinion. I'm not having him.
Right, well, let's move further forward then. So, We're starting to see demonstrate Mane, Salah, Firmino, the combinations between them. Not many teams will want to face these three, not least because of their speed.
No, like you said, they're capable of ripping defences apart. And the only downside to that is, are the defence going to cope with what gets put back at them? But to play in front of them as a defender, you must be thinking, God, these guys can score as a goal. Even if we do make a mistake, these can get us out of a hole. So to actually have them people in front of you and you know what they're capable of, I think it's going to be confidence to the defence anyway, because they've got to say, hang on, these guys are doing it. They're scoring left, right and centre. We have to help them out here by not conceding.
And you look at the value of these three. I mean, I know it's a bit irrelevant because they're Liverpool players, but there's been some great business done there, hasn't there? They're all probably worth at least double, if not treble, their values already.
Well, finally, hopefully, we're going to make some money if we ever sell them. I mean, the Coutinho situation dragging on, and To me, I don't see any other option. I think he's gone. I think you've got to forget about him. And you've got to realise, I mean, we're capable of doing that without Coutinho in the side with them players we've got. I mean, don't get the 130 million they're going to give you for him. And let's just, you know, try and strengthen the team again in little places that we need to.
Well, he's fit, isn't he, Philip Coutinho? He's away on international duty and he's fine to play for Brazil.
Listen, we're not daft, obviously. I mean, all this little hamstrings or you've got a back problem. It's never a back problem. It's the fact there's all the deals going on behind closed doors and whether he was sold and they didn't want to get him injured just in case. So, I mean, we're not soft. We're football fans and we know he was fit from day one. So it's all about the business and what they can generate and what they're intending to do with Coutinho. I think he's gone myself. Whether it's now or in the January transfer, I don't know. But for me, I think you've just got to prepare Liverpool now this season without Coutinho.
Right, well, they've already done a little bit of business over the weekend, Liverpool, for a player who won't arrive until next summer. So Naby Keita, 22 years old. They've agreed a deal, £48 million. So they couldn't get him in this window. But they've secured the fact that he will arrive at Anfield eventually. This seems quite sensible.
Yeah, I'd rather have him in the door straight away. If you're paying that kind of money, shelving that money out, you want him in your door. You pay for him, he's yours. But yeah, I can see it. I think the fact that he's going to prepare himself, he knows what a big club Liverpool is, and mentally it might prepare the guy a bit better for when he does actually come.
So he's already there, secured. Thomas Lamar, have you been keeping a close eye on him, the Monaco striker? Mm-hmm.
I've seen quite a bit of him, actually. I mean, you've got these arguments, is he better than the Ox? Is he better, you know, who's going to fit Liverpool's team better? I don't know. I mean, yeah, he's a good player. Where are you going to play him? I mean, how many more wingers do we need, attacking players? I mean, exactly. It's like, for me, if I was going to have a choice, I think I'd have the Ox in midfield myself.
Would you? Although he didn't cover himself in glory at the weekend,
no.
Did he?
Well, no. I mean, you don't. Again, you don't know what's been going on behind closed doors, and you know, is his head being spinned, and whatever, and was he under pressure because he, I know for a fact that he has been talking for Liverpool, but that's another story. So, whether they want him, I think it's down to Liverpool whether they want to go and pay.
It's either Chelsea or Liverpool, isn't it? Just give us a thought on Diego Costa. So. It looks like he's heading to Atletico Madrid in the January transfer window, but he's got a couple of free months, which might indicate a loan deal. He's been heavily linked with Everton. Is that perfect or not for Everton? Do they really need to take on the problem of a Diego Costa, or short-term, does he bring goals for them?
He brings goals. Steve, if we had the chance to go and get him, I'd jump at the chance, I really would.
On loan, though, would you?
Well, no, I mean, listen, if you're going to get him, I think you... If we could get him till the end of the season, I'd have him. Because if he's available, I think what he does, he'll score your goals. He upsets people. And I think he makes people play around him. He's got the passion. He's probably not everyone's cup of tea. But to have a Diego Costa in your side is unbelievable. You just feed off people like that. And I think, yeah, it's not the ideal situation. You'd want him signed up. But on loan, if you can get him, I don't think it's a perfect fit, but if you had the chance, why not?
Well, even for 4 months, if you're Everton, well, it'd take a month to get him match fit, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, no, not 4 months. Like I said, if it was going to get it and if the deal had to be done, it'd be to the end of the season, if long, you know, and if not, to, and then obviously a chance to buy him. But no, it wouldn't make sense for 4 months because, like you said, it'd probably take him a month to get back to match fitness, and then who's to say he's not going to get injured and then he's finished? So, but to the end of the season, I think it'd be a great fit.
I think that's some of the frustration from the Everton fans, because I think most clubs would want him for a season, wouldn't they? He would add so much going forward, but doesn't seem that way. It feels like we might have quite a busy transfer week in terms of the deadline day.
Oh, I think there'll be a lot of panic buyers. Not so much panic buyers, people who've got on the radar waiting for the last minute to see how much they can save or whatever. But I think people will have the targets. There might be the odd panic one right at the end, but it will be busy.
Steve Hothersall's kickoff.
This is Radio City Talk.